This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at UH1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Welcome back to another episode of Don't Blame Me, where we, Megan and Melissa, give you wonderful, amazing, life-changing advice that has been told to change your lives.
Okay.
For better or for worse. And if it's for worse,
can't blame us.
Hey. Well, welcome back. We're going to give some advice and it's going to be a wonderful, great time. But if you're brand new here and you don't know us, we're Megan and Melissa, and we're about to become in your ear holes or on your screens for 4 days a week. You get to enjoy us a lot of days, not just this podcast. If you want to watch how Melissa's making that delightful little mouth noise, head on over to our Patreon where you can watch the video versions of the podcast. But yeah, we've got a whole slate of shows. So if you know, maybe you're someone who listened to a show that released episodes daily and you realize, like, damn, they're incredibly problematic.
Are you one of those people?
No. But I was going to say, how'd it take you so long? I went on a Google deep dive about 10 episodes in. I said, I got questions. Where's the Birkin money coming from? And then I figured it out.
But you still listened.
But, because I was doing research. And that's when I said, we got to make more episodes a week because people are saying that they can't stop listening to this podcast because it's a part of their routine. And I said, we got to get in these bitches' ears and in their routines. We got to get in their cars. We got to get in their commutes multiple days a week. And so that's what we did. We saw a need in the market and we appeared for you.
Ta-da.
Yay. So you might be wondering how we're qualified to give this advice. And what we lack in credentials, we make up for in
opinions. I have a question for the listeners, and I'm going to ask it on See You Next Tuesday, but I'm going to write it down right now so I don't forget. So tune in to See You Next Tuesday. Here's a little teaser. That's all the teaser.
Now I'm on the edge of my seat waiting to tune in till See You Next Tuesday.
Well, you've got about an hour to get there.
Yeah, I get to beat you all. I get that first. Anyways. So if you want to call in for this podcast, you can leave us a voicemail at 310-694-0976. Tell us about your problem, your predicament. We will do our very best to solve it. But if you don't want to call in or you are international, you would prefer, and it would be easier because you can't leave a voicemail at the Google number. You can always send us a voice memo to meganpodcast@gmail.com. And if none of those things appeal to you, you can also send us a DM or just write it out in the same email address, meganpodcast@gmail.com. For the audio versions, you have to keep it under 3 minutes. And for that, we also suggest, beg of you to write everything down ahead of time, practice reading aloud a couple of times, time it out, make sure it's under 3 minutes. You have all the relevant info in there. And then just read it when you record it, because we don't do like multiple, like, oh, I'm going to pick this up in the next one. Like, you just have those 3 minutes. And then for the requirements for the writing ones, 300 words or less. But then for all of them, include your age. You can include your pronouns if you would like. But if other people are involved in the story or what's going on, give them like a fake name. Let us know their ages as well. And if it's about a relationship, how long you've been together, friendship, how long you've been friends, or any relevant information that can help us give you the best advice possible. And tell us if you're sensitive, because despite being ruthless cunts, We take that into consideration.
We do. And most of the time when people ask us, they don't need it.
No, it's always like the most like, hey, like someone slapped me across my face and like called me a fucking like dirty bitch whore and like spit in my mouth because like I asked if like I could get guacamole with like my Chipotle bowl.
And it depends on what's going on.
No, I know. That's why I was like, I had to make sure it wasn't what you wanted.
Yeah.
And that's like not what I ordered with my Chipotle burrito bowl. And, but you can tell me like I'm sensitive, but like I can handle it. I'm just like, what? In what world are you on? Anyways, anything else?
Nah.
Shall we embark?
We shall, but we've got an update. So this is from the Karaoke Stalker episode. It wasn't that long ago. I think maybe two
or three.
Karaoke
Stalker?
Yeah. Remember the person that wrote in, they work somewhere and...
Yes. I can only think of the TikTok I just sent you of the girl singing karaoke at the nail salon. And So I was just like, what happened with that? Okay, no, you're right. The coworker who kept inviting themselves along.
Yes. All right. And so then they wrote in and said, thanks for answering another one of my questions so fast. Sorry if any of that was confusing. I had to cut some stuff out to make it shorter, but you both did a fabulous job giving me things to think about from all different angles. Anyway, like I feel like I didn't give enough for y'all to get it, but you did because you rock. Also, they responded quickly after. Also, so you don't think I'm a terrible person, I've tried to be friends with Ron for like a year now, and the stalking is the last straw on a long list of otherwise pretty meh things he's done to make me not like him. Like, he's not a bad person. I'm sure there is a friend out there somewhere for him that would love that. That person friend is just not me. And I do, in fact, think he's a weirdo, even though I know he's not a bad person. And then there's like a little... like yoga emoji. Google changes things weird, so I don't even know what that is. Also, today at lunch, I was talking about a movie I like, and he really loudly, in the work break room, I put that in all caps, said, that's the movie about teens trying anal for the first time, right? No, what the fuck? This is just the first time he's making me out to be the weirdo at work when he is the true weirdo. He told everyone an event I was planning was not safe for work. He literally said the acronym NSFW. Bitch, this is work. Why the fuck would I make it not safe for work? Like, go Like, go live your best weirdo life, but please don't include me at work. Anywho, this is no hate to anal movies. I'm sure that's a lovely genre, but please don't talk about that at work. And please don't slander my event. And please don't stalk me because what the fuck? See, I don't know how I would have included this all because the karaoke suckies seemed to be the most pressing matter. It had just happened that week. No, you should have started with this. You could have left the karaoke out and just put this in. And that would have gave us a better picture.
What movie is about teens have, like, first of all, you're saying that's like, oh, that's the one with the deer where the mom dies. Like, we all know Bambi. But like, if you put that into connections, like, okay, now pair together, which of these movies are about teens and having an affair?
And I'm not going to Google that because it's not going to be whatever he was thinking of. It actually might be. Like,
it's not a common reference to the point where I go, you're talking to two movie girls and Mark Luke, I don't know what that is.
No.
And so therefore, why does he know what that is?
This is just yuck.
Also, I don't know who wrote in this, but I feel like I could pick a friend for them based on how they write with someone who's in our Patreon.
Mm-hmm.
Who do you think?
Eric.
I was going to say Nicole.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. I would think if you did a screenshot of this person, if like you were friends with Nicole and your screenshots of your texts between each other, like those are the kinds of ones that go viral. Like, you both seem like the same kind of people who would have started that viral trend of like writing to my roommates, like Democratic National Convention, begging for donations. Like, it's just like, you tell a story very well. Like, I can hear your personality in that. And Mary, too.
Yeah. And everyone, I would implore you, when you're getting these text messages from your representatives, I've been doing this. I just respond back. What are your thoughts on genocide?
Because rumor has it, and as far as I can tell, you're a big, big fan. And that's a deal breaker for me.
Yeah. And so the ones that are against it are responding back, right? Their constituents are responding back right away with the information that I like to see. And the ones that haven't said one word or like are more for it, they just don't respond back. So it's very telling.
It is. I had a dream that I signed up to do a brand deal with the DNC, but specifically with current present day Obama and like Barack. And in my dream, I went to sleep in my dream and then I woke up in my dream and I was like, they just decided.
Wait. So in your dream, you fell asleep and then woke up. Inception.
I know. Listen, when I tell you my dreams, like it's too realistic and too fucking vivid. And then I woke up and it was, you know, the U.S. co-signing, drop those bombs, all of this kind of stuff. And I was like, I have to get out of this brand deal. And they're like, Barack is a little worried as well. And I was like, I need to cancel this. And everyone's like, well, what is Barack going to think of you? And I go, I hope he agreed. I think it's fine. And also like, they're like, well, what? He's not going to be able to like get reelected. And I was like, he's not running. And they're like, yeah, but like, what if? And I was like, what? And then I woke up.
It was like, you were having a what iffy Marvel universe type thing.
Yes. It was basically being like, we know Joe Biden's on the ballot, but like, what if Obama? And he was like, I don't think so. And I was like, I'm going to head out. And they were disappointed in me and they were like very upset. And I was like, okay. It was very weird.
I'm disappointed in y'all. So.
Yeah. Join the fucking club.
Right.
Oh, it's been a long time coming. Anyways. We'll take a quick break and then we will get into the rest of the episode.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to Quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
We're back from our break and getting into our first submission. I'm going to hop right into it. I need a hobby. I feel like everyone has that one or several things that they're interested in, and I'm just not. My New Year's resolution was to find a hobby and be great at it. Well, we're almost 3 months in and I haven't found it. I tried the easiest, reading. I even bought a Kindle. I never finished a book. Do you have ADHD? I tried multiple genres and nothing held my attention. I do believe I've undiagnosed ADHD. If any listeners have any books to recommend, I'd be grateful. I tried scrapbooking. Nope. And now you confirmed have ADHD. I tried scrapbooking for some of my favorite times of my life. Went on Pinterest, got all the supplies, and basically wasted a bunch of money because I didn't get past the shopping part. Maybe I'm a shopaholic. Who knows? Please recommend hobbies that are very low maintenance so I can actually stick to it. So you have met all the diagnostic criteria for ADHD, specifically scrapbooking. Like anyone who has like attempted scrapbooking, the amount of materials and money I have spent and the shit I have bought, this is going to be crazy to suggest because I also am constantly looking for hobbies like that are fun and that I can accomplish and that I can finish. And if you're an undiagnosed ADHD person, or even if you don't have ADHD, you can have like similar ADHD tendencies. And to that, I would say, do not pick one hobby to stick to. Pick of a couple to rotate between. So like I bought a bunch of beads and like have been like made like bracelets and necklaces and stuff like over the summer. And then I just like stopped and I got bored of it. And then I had knit before and then I stopped and I got bored of it. But then I picked back the beads back up and then I picked the knitting back up. And like I have an iPad that I'll draw on or whatever. And like reading is one that I have not been able to get back into the same way. But I do think a good gateway to hobbies, I don't know, there will be someone out there going, no, mobile gaming. Like, I do think playing games on your phone is a great way to get into the habit of like just doing something that's like fun, that is like not work related, that's not necessarily productive. And then to me, I have a hard time deciding hobbies, differentiating between what is a hobby and what is like a next business venture. What is, how can I monetize this? How can I do, you can't do that with like, I mean, you can if you want to like fucking stream on Twitch, which there was one point where I texted Arden and I said, should I stream on Twitch? And she goes, it's hard, but I'll help you. And I said, never mind. So I think like that's a good way to kind of get into it. I don't think that anyone, you're on the right track. Like, it's very hard to like pick a hobby, one singular hobby, stick to it and know that you're going to like it and love it. So I think like hobbies that are not high overhead costs, like start with free hobbies and then ones that like don't cost as much money or aren't as like labor intensive or like as much of a time suck. Because like the amount of times I've almost bought a Cricut machine and I'm like, do I need this? And I'm like, oh my God, you don't need this. Like, there's so many things. I'm like, should I get into sewing? Should I buy a sewing machine? And it's too expensive, too big of a learning curve. So do the things that you, that are free and that automatically you're like, I can get the hang of this. I can get like better at this. I can get good at this. And then work your way up to things that are a little more like niche interesty. Yeah. I would say.
My hobbies are doing algebra problems, playing Marvel Strike Force, now playing Monopoly Go. And then if I venture outside the home, an occasional ride on a horse. They're like things, I can't buy things because I just look at it and don't do anything. I have to like get out the house and do something. I think about a lot of things. And I also don't think you need to be good at a hobby. Like the writer mentioned that they wanted to get good at one thing. It's a hobby. You don't need to be good at it. You just need to be interested in it. And if you are only interested in it that one time you do it, then great. Now move on to something else. Reading. I don't particularly like to read. I do it to get paid. It is not a hobby. It is a job for me. But I do like, if audiobooks might be better for you, if you can't, like you've tried reading. But people write in, share what books you like. We don't even know what your interests are, so we don't know what.
Yeah. I'm always like Evelyn Hugo, because that's what Evan recommended to me. I downloaded it years ago. I still have not read it, but I think
Brie,
like I'm also
write in. Brie has all the books in the world.
Oh yeah. Brie loves Evelyn Hugo. That's a good one. That Brie recommended that to me. Brie's also the one who told me, bitch, you don't need a Cricut. Brie has a Cricut. But I'm someone who like, I do need to be good at something to like enjoy it. So like I abandon a crossword if I like run into like one complication. I go, if I have to like, if it's too hard, I go, no, I'm out. I dip. I'm trying something X, moving on to the next one. So I would say like, be comfortable with, it can't be a money pit, because that the only way, then you feel guilty. So like, if you don't make them a high overhead expense, you can do it and then suck at it and then be like, fuck this, I'm getting rid of it. Mm-hmm. And like, I'm not gonna do this. Let me find another one there. So like, don't be so, I don't want to say like, don't be so intentional about what you pick, because you're not going to know until you try it. So just be ready to try anything and everything. And then also go through like seasons of multiple different hobbies and you like switch back and forth and do all that kind of stuff. And yeah, I also think seasonal hobbies are a great place to start. So like, I love making Christmas decorations or making like a holiday decoration. You can make something for summer, make something for whatever that is. And it helps you like figure out what you're good at and like what you like. And there's like an end date. So it like there's feels a little bit more of an accomplishment. Mm-hmm. But I would love if we could have stores like this one that my future mother-in-law went to, that I think it was in like Sebastopol or something, but it was somewhere in like the northern Sebastopol. It's like Northern California area. That's where I used to get Christmas trees as a kid. It's cute. It's cute. But that it is literally an entire shop full of half finished or partially started hobby projects that people have started that they abandoned and they donate them there and then you can buy them. So she bought like a half done like needlepoint for like $5 and all of these things that are like either almost done or partially done, and then you just buy them.
And the city is called Sadableville. What did you say? Sabatoville?
Sebastopol. Kind of like the beginning of Sebastian. And then like Sebastopol. A pool.
Okay.
I don't know if that's even where she was. I might be fully making this up.
I remember you telling me about it, though.
Well, I've been to Sebastopol a bunch of times, and I just know that they had driven from, they did like a Northern California all the way to LA. So I just picked a place that, it's in Sonoma County.
Okay. Yeah, but just try stuff. If you don't like it, move on.
Yeah. And also, like, the longer, if there are other hobbies that you're like, oh, I really want to do, but I don't know if I'm going to, like, waste all this money doing it, just like keep it in the back of your head. Like I, for years, have been saying I want to make a dollhouse. One day I will. I haven't done it yet. And like, sometimes I just keep those little flames alive, but just saying that, like, I'm going to do that one day. And that's satisfying.
Like, I've been saying I'm going to pick up tennis. I took the steps to get an inhaler. I was going to look into starting it, but then I had to leave.
Yeah.
Swimming. That's on the list too. I don't even think swimming is. I was going to say it's really not a hobby. It's more of like
survival. Yeah. I'm not looking forward to that. That one's going to be hard.
Yeah. Well, well, well. Next one.
Hi, Eminem. I'm 17. Parent permission granted. Don't worry. She, her, needing advice about how to handle a situation with my friend group. Here's a breakdown of our relationships to each other. We are all in our junior year. Ben, Chris, and Tom, all he, him, have been friends since 8th grade. Me and Ben have been dating since freshman year. Me and Anne, she, her, have been best friends since 1st grade. Me, Anne, and April, she, her, have been best friends since March of last year. The six of us became a friend group in May of last year. Anne and Chris began dating a few weeks ago after talking since June. The problem is several habits April has that range from annoying to harmful. After talking to my therapist about it, she said her behavior sounds like borderline personality disorder. Look up the symptoms, nearly everything applies to April. April has body dysmorphia and is recovering from eating disorders. She constantly says she looks fat or that she wishes she was skinny like me or Anne. Anne also struggles with disordered eating, so this is harmful to her, and I have debilitating chronic illnesses that makes it impossible to gain weight. She'll send me pictures of herself when she was sick and skinny, saying she wishes she still looked like that. This is triggering, since I look like that, and my body fails me even more than it already does because of it. Me and Anne have both asked her not to say these things to us, and it hasn't stopped. April also has extreme insecurities about everyone's relationship with her. She claims she's fifth-wheeling in her group, or that we don't want her there, or that she's intruding. Tom says he's never felt like a fifth wheel, and we've all made conscious efforts to make her feel included, even though she was never excluded. Recently, April has been strangely possessive and flirty towards Chris, making comments that make both him and Anne uncomfortable and that everyone has noticed. However, she also keeps picking fights with him and saying that he's a bully. April also lies to the point that none of us knows what is true about her in her life. Recently, she's lied to Anne, saying things designed to make her upset with me and Chris. One especially annoying lie is her claim that her family is struggling financially, household to the point that she has to buy them groceries. However, there are many obvious reasons that this isn't the case. Her dad is a Harvard graduate lawyer. They have many cars. Hers is a vintage one. She always buys lunch or cups for herself or others. They are clearly upper middle class. Lastly, and to do with the money stuff, April always needs to be having the hardest time of anyone. Me and Anne have boyfriends, so we can't complain. We're skinny, so we don't know, or we have money, so we don't understand. Again, her family clearly has considerably more money than us. However, if I say try to vent about my illness, she will say something like, oh yeah, like how, and will give an example of something she's gone through that's worse. And so she understands. She is not chronically ill at all. All of these things have culminated into high tensions in our group, particularly between Chris and April. All of us feel we have to watch our words around her, and all of us want these behaviors to stop. Thank you for any advice, and much love, moi.
Oi. First and foremost, severely inappropriate for your therapist to speculate on a diagnosis. So I don't know if that's how you took it, or she said like, oh, she probably has BPD. That's just like not appropriate, because the diagnostic label is not appropriate for you. It's the behaviors that affect you, and those behaviors are not exclusive to someone with BPD. And there's a whole lot of stigma about that. And also, I'm assuming she's also 17, and I don't think you can get diagnosed with BPD at 17.
That is absolutely correct. I had a friend just like this in high school. Yeah. Like exactly like this. Their father was also a lawyer. Like it was the exact same situation. And this is how I ended it. We graduated. You're 17. I don't know, but you might be a junior. I don't think you said
juniors.
Oh, you're a junior. So you still have another year. Older me would just drop them. But when you're in high school, it's different. There's a lot of feelings and you have to see these people every day.
Yeah, I think that like, regardless of like looking at like her life and being like, she doesn't have chronic illnesses, her family has money, and like, it feels like she's like lying about things to like, so everything for her is always like a lot worse. People who are doing well don't do that. Like it is not an indicator of someone who is like thriving and very happy is like pathologically consistently lying about stuff. So I would say like, regardless of the reason there that why she's doing it, if it's truthful or not, she's doing it. Like, it's, she's, regardless of the fact that, like, even if, like, her life was harder and it was worse, responding to someone who's, like, going through something and, like, talking about their chronic illness, be like, my life is so much worse than yours. Even if it was worse, is not an appropriate response to that. And, like, that's also not fair to you all as, like, friends to participate. And I had a, like, friendship growing up with someone who, like, had a, like, tough life. They had, like, they had tough stuff going on. And because, like, we were young, they didn't have, it was really hard for them to kind of process. And in part of that, they kind of just, like, lashed out at other people. And they were, like, just, like, really mean-spirited and cruel because, like, they were going through a lot. And I remember, like, adults in my life just kept being like, they're going through a lot. They're going through a lot. And I was like, so I'm supposed to, like, pretend to maintain a friendship with this person who is, like, not being a friend to me anymore. And, like, I can't even show up and be a good friend to them because, like, they're treating me super poorly. And I'm just supposed to, like, take that because I know that at the end of the day, I'm being the bigger person. I was like, that feels like, A, I'm pitying this person and I'm pretending to be there, to be, like, an active friend in their life when I'm not. And I think, like, knowing what someone is going through is, I think it's important, but I don't think it should change the outcome of what's best for you. Because again, like, the reason why doesn't change the actions that are happening. And sometimes when you learn about why someone's doing something, it can change your feelings about it and it can change the behavior because you can have a conversation with them about it. But if there is no, like, realization or reflection on their end, then at a certain point, like, you also need to protect your mental health. And, like, for the sake of you, it's not, you don't sacrifice that for somebody else, because then you just have two people who are going through some bad shit and you can't help her out. She can't help you out. So I honestly would just say, like, hey, we've talked about this before. I'm, like, really not comfortable when you say X, Y, and Z. And I really need that to be something that is, like, eliminated from our day-to-day friendship, because, like, I would love to maintain a friendship with you, but, like, this is not, it's not working when this is happening. So I don't know if you want to, like, take, like, a week break from, like, this and, like, we'll, like, hang out again next week, or if, like, we just, like, want to move forward with it, like, without this aspect of the friendship. And I would address it in, like, a one-on-one thing. I would not address it as a group. I would not address other people in the group who have X, Y, and Z issues. Like, everybody needs to have a conversation with her. If they have an issue about a certain specific thing in their life, don't talk about what she does with other people or whatever that is, only the stuff that includes you. And if it doesn't happen, it's just like, hey, like I said before, this isn't changing. And I've given this time and I have told you this before, so I need to take some space from our relationship. Like, I wish you nothing but the best. I hope we can pick this back up at a later date, but, like, I can't, it's not good for me right now. And I would never want you to stay in a friendship that was not serving you or was actively harming you. And so I also need to step out, because I need to prioritize myself in this. And that's it. Like, I just think that the biggest thing I would say is, because I've done that when I was, like, when we were, like, in middle school, we didn't want to hang out with someone anymore. It was, like, a group of my friends, and we just, like, all as a group together, like, we really don't want to hang out with you anymore. And I'm like, that's so awful and so cruel. So the thing I would say is that, like, it's going to suck no matter what, but don't view every way that you get to the end of this, at this end of this friendship, as, like, all being the same means to an end. Like, there's a way to do this that it's always going to suck. It's always going to be painful, but there are certain ways to do that are going to be, like, far crueler than the others. So I would keep it really insular and focus on your friendship with her, because other people might not even want to bring it up. And then if they don't want to bring it up to her, their friendship with her is, like, not, I know you think about it like friendship groups, but, like, you have to treat it as individuals, because, like, what she does, that's not your problem.
Yeah. I agree with everything you said. I just want to add in with the money thing. You never actually know what people are going through just because it appears on the outside that they have a lot of, like, material things. And her dad's a lawyer. He might have got sued by somebody for doing something or mishandled the money or any number of things. So you actually never know what people are going through. So I wouldn't judge her based upon that. Maybe she does have to actually, like, buy groceries for her family. And that is a struggle that she's going through. And then that's something that she's struggling with. And so it is you know, stressing her out. And then that's adding to the stress of your friendship. So don't ever judge anybody's pockets.
Yeah. And also, like, it could just be that, like, her parents are, like, very absent. It's easier to say that they can't than they won't. Mm-hmm. Like, that's a much easier kind of thing. And you're still, I don't ever want to say, like, oh my gosh, you're, like, still so young, but everyone is still figuring everything out. So, like, you're figuring out who you are. You're figuring out how, what friendships you want and what friendships serve you. She's doing the same thing, but anything that I also think involves, like you said, like, yes, don't check anyone's pockets, but like, you're only privy to what the adults in your life will let you be privy to. And so I do think that it might seem like she's totally lying about that, but like, the reality that she might have is the one that she might have been given by her parents, or she doesn't like what that one is. And so she's rewriting all of that. And that can be incredibly annoying. And it sure can be a symptom of mental illness. It could be a symptom of like neglect or whatever it is. But there's not like a justification for the reason why, if that behavior is like not aligned with helping you grow up and helping you move forward and become a better person. So yeah, I do think even your initial advice of like, you've only got a year left, don't like go out of your way to make sure that you will not feel embarrassed by the way you handled this when you're older. Mm-hmm. Like, just take a lot of time and patience and care before you act. Because like, there's a lot of shit that I said and did when I was younger that I'm like, oh God, I wish I didn't do that.
Yeah.
And I didn't have therapy as a resource or an access. And like, you have that, like you have the ability to like take the time to say it in a way that if you were on the receiving end of it, what's the best possible outcome?
Mm-hmm. Good luck. Good luck.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to take a break, and when we get back, we'll get into the rest of the submissions.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello? Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
And we're back. Next up. Hi, Megan and Melissa. I'm having a problem with my parents. They keep trying to set me up on blind dates. They're acting like I need a man to make me happy. I'm only 30 and I still have so much time to figure it out. Meanwhile, my mom brings up freezing my eggs more times than I can count. She even scheduled me an appointment, which I conveniently had to work during, and that they don't have another opening for months. They keep trying to set me up with guys that are not my type. What they don't know is that I'm out here having a hoe of a time. I am taking this year and maybe next year to have my hoe phase, no strings attached. I was in a long-term relationship most of my 20s. After some therapy, I am ready to let my hair down. I have multiple apps and I've been having a great time finding my sexual self. Clearly, these are things I cannot tell my parents. So I'm stuck constantly hearing about their friends' quote-unquote eligible sons and how my fertility clock is ticking. Please, any advice would be greatly appreciated. I want to watch this movie.
This is kind of the story of my life at a certain point.
Someone here might have some insight.
For me, I just say, shut up. Not shut up, but leave me alone. Ignore it as best as you can. It's still annoying. It's so annoying, but like, I don't need to be set up with anybody. I'm doing perfectly fine on my own. It's just none of y'all's business.
I would die to see who they'd set you up with.
There's been plenty. There's been a couple professional athletes, but like, not anybody that I
know. No, I was about to say. Yeah. Like, yeah,
there's been like a nerdy doctor. There's been other like people they grew up with, their sons,
their kids.
Yeah,
small town.
But it wasn't even like they didn't live here. They'd be like in, because my
parents
didn't
grow, yeah,
my, they're like still like actually they actually like talk to friends on phones and things like that.
Oh,
like,
yeah that generation.
Yeah,
forgot about them.
Yeah, they don't live here, but they're just like, you know, a few hours away or things like that, or like when their kids would come to college up here.
Oh yeah.
There's been a lot. I was doing my own thing. Literally, maybe one out of all of them was actually my type, but then I didn't want them to have the glory of trying to set me up. Yep. Without, so no. I never.
Nope. Yep. Had was a loss, but yeah. Hey.
Whatever.
Can't let them win.
Right. And my dad actually said somebody, I don't even remember meeting this person, but he said I did. But he said, blah, 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 son just got married. And his dad said, you just missed out. And I was like, first of all, that was like 15 years ago. Second, I didn't want them then. Why would I want them now?
No, why would I want them? Why would I want to be betrothed to someone, right, I didn't want to go on a date with?
Yep.
I don't think I missed out on anything considering I turned down this date, let alone the wedding date.
And I wish I could tell you it gets better. It doesn't.
I would be curious where you live, where you're from, and where they live.
Yeah. And how close you are to them.
Because I think the distance helps, because...
Not for me.
I was going to say, I think like, I was going to suggest lie, but it's like, if you live in the same town and you're having a hoe phase... And is it a small town that they also live in? Like, is that going to get back to them if you create this lie? Like, oh, I'm actually dating someone. Like, are you going to have to like, bring him over for dinner? But if you live like 6 hours apart, I was going to say, just makes up some fake boyfriend.
When I was close, it didn't. I was literally at school on the campus that my mom also works on.
That your mom
on.
Also was, yeah, on campus of.
No.
Yeah.
When I said distance, I now live half the country away. Oh, somebody's son is coming up to visit LA. I don't know them. I'm not going to meet some stranger. No, thank you.
Pick him up from LAX. God, no.
Somebody did. I forgot which one of my parents. I just get this random text message. This was like October, November-ish from somebody. Hey, I gotta find it. So, hey, I don't even remember what their name is. You're my dad, because my mom wouldn't have gave out my number. Your dad gave me your number. I'm in LA. I don't know who this person is.
They could be the next big scam. Wow. Yeah, I mean, I don't have personal experience with this one specifically, but I am a firm believer in, like, if you can't establish the boundaries because you, like, are either financially dependent or you, like, have a good relationship with them and, like, you don't want this to, like, it's just kind of a blip that, like, with all that, then I would make a joke out of it. And, like, every time that they bring it up, just be like, huh? What? I didn't hear. And then they keep repeating it. You're like, oh, that's so weird. I just hear this, like, ringing in my ears. Like, that's so odd.
Like Charlie Brown.
Yeah. Like, have you guys seen this new TV? And then just completely, like, change the subjects. Like, it can be fun about it. It's not, like, a serious conversation about, like, we need to establish these boundaries here, because I don't know if you've already had that or that's not going to be receptive. I wish it was for everyone. But if it's, yeah, if it's something that, like, it's not harming your relationship with them fundamentally in all every other aspect, like, I think make a joke out of it in order to not respond jokingly, but, like, make an ordeal of ignoring them. And so then every time they bring it up, they're not getting an answer. Like, the conversation has been switched to something else. So that's what I would suggest. But I also don't have personal experience with this.
Yeah, I just get annoyed and don't let it, like, weigh down on me. Because I've had conversations with them and they'll be fine for like a month and a half and then it just comes back. And yeah. Now I'm at the point where I don't want to waste my breath. So I just let it roll in one ear and out the other and fuck it.
Yeah. The only ones I ever get are about babies, but it's less about your biological clock is ticking and more about go get that endometriosis surgery.
Oh, that. Yeah.
It's more that, but that is the precursor to the grandchildren.
You had done it. She's like, I can talk to her because I had endometriosis. I said, Mom.
This girl is drowning in people with personal experience from this goddamn surgery. She just has not done it yet. No, I know. That's the one conversation I get. And it leads into that's like the kid aspect of it. But it's not from like a pressure standpoint. It's from like a, we see how much you love being an aunt and how good you are with kids. But also, I know that this is something that you eventually want. Mm-hmm. How about that surgery now?
Yep.
I don't have an answer. Birth control is amazing. And so, like, I don't have to think about it anymore. And so, like, eventually I will have to think about it. And so then I'll have to get off the surgery and get off the birth control. But, like, right now, I get to coast through not having periods. And so, like, I just don't think about it as much.
Think about how much pain you used to be in.
I know. Melissa, like, how crazy is that?
I know.
I think about that all the time. And I'm like, Amos, like, I don't know how you survived that. I was like, babe, I was getting dangerously close to not surviving it, which is why I went off the birth control. Yeah. Like, it gets to a point where, like, you just can't handle that much pain as a human, like, all the time. Mm-hmm. But if my rheumatologist is like, you got to get this done, maybe I will.
Yeah.
Soon.
Good luck. If you want to go for shock value, just say, I'm slutting it up in the streets. I'll return home when I feel like it.
But also, if they're offering to pay for you to freeze your eggs and that is something that you'd be interested in, I would take them up on that offer.
Yeah.
You know, like, I don't think that, I mean, it's a hormone fertility treatment. Like, so, like, it's not like painless or without side effects or symptoms, but it is very expensive and not accessible to everybody. So, like, if that is something that you would want and they are offering that, I would, like, not consider that a win if you're like, yeah, like, if you want to pay for that to happen. For sure.
Yeah. Unless they're going to hold it over your head.
Yeah. But if it's just like, oh, I've never thought about it until like they're offering, then I would be like, okay, no. Like, unless it's something that's like you really wanted separately from all this.
Yeah.
There's a bunch of influencers who like do brand deals for like getting their eggs frozen.
Yeah.
Specifically, the girl who I talked about with the ugly apartment, Danielle Bernstein, she's doing it. And I saw this on Reddit, but she keeps talking about like doing like prenatal and postpartum workouts and like, you know, she's like, I have to like, you know, doing all this stuff, like being, and she's like is talking about this like for as like a fertility treatment, and she's like, I'm doing like, you know, it's like I think she's like prenatal, like all of this like terms, people are like, girl, you're not, like, this is so weird. And she's like, where are all my other mamas at? And like, she's like not planning on carrying a child anytime soon, let alone using like a surrogate. Like from how she's talking about it, it's just like for the future to do all this stuff, but then is like kind of trying to shift her content to like appeal more to like mommies. And they're all like, what? It's very weird.
Okay.
She's an odd one.
Yeah.
Anyways, should we read the next one?
Hey, ladies, I'm writing in to ask if you guys went to sleepovers when you were kids. I am 28, she, her, and I have an 8-year-old daughter. She is currently at the age where she wants to go to her friend's house to sleep over. I am a single mom, and not many of my friends have kids this age, so I don't know where else to get advice. I am all for play dates, but draw the line at sleepovers because you don't know these days. At the same time, I feel a bit hypocritical because I went to sleepovers when I was her age and they were a blast. Am I robbing her from a big part of her childhood by not letting her sleep over her friend's house? I know this will only come up more as she gets older, and I like to have a plan of action. If you're comfortable sharing, did your parents allow sleepovers? Any pros and cons from your experience? Please help me make a decision here. Thanks. I love the pod and I've been listening forever. I went to sleepovers, but only if my parents knew the parents, like knew them. And my mom would come over no matter what for like an hour and just sit and talk to the mom for like when we'd be over there. So like if she felt anything weird, she never did, but it was like, I know now that I'm older that it was because she wanted to see like if she felt anything weird or if I felt anything weird, then she'd still be there. And this was before I would have had a cell phone as well.
Yeah.
If it was even if it was like birthday parties where a lot of people were sleeping over, my mom would still come over and just like talk to the person's parents for a minute.
I never even thought about doing that, but that's smart. Like to get a vibe, and then also to be able, like you said, to be able to assess how you're interacting with people. Cause it's like, she could totally trust the parents, but there might be another kid there who's invited who she goes, I don't like how this is going.
Yeah. So even, I know that at the time I was embarrassed, but now that I'm thinking about it, I really appreciate it. And I've never thought about it until right now.
It didn't stunt you socially.
No, not at all. Not at all. So if I don't know somebody's parents, I'm not going to let my kid go stay with them. But my parents were specifically, more so my mom. My dad, I don't think he cared about sleepovers himself, but very specific about who I could go to and what the vibe was. And also, she would be more willing to have people come spend the night at our place, which, and a lot of other people's parents just didn't even care. They just dropped their kid off without even knowing.
I was one of those kids.
Yeah, just drop them off at the door and be like, see ya.
Yeah, I think there's a happy medium. I was one of those kids. And I will say that, like, I had one of the big things, like, that is a big fear and part of the reason why a lot of people do not do sleepovers, which is why I think it's really important to not judge as like a parent or whatever, like not judge anyone else, because a lot of the time like there it's because like some sexual abuse has happened in that person's life when they were at a sleepover, or that they work in a profession where they're like very aware of that kind of stuff. I never had anything that like went like that far, but like I had like a sleep, I remember a specific sleepover that I went to that I was like uncomfortable with, like the closeness of like the girl who I was sleeping over with. Like I just didn't feel physically comfortable. Like there was a lot of boundaries pushed there. But because I was like very allowed to like, it was like sleep over wherever, whenever, who cares? If I wanted to come home, I knew that like I couldn't really call, like very rarely. The only time that I'm going to actually call and get picked up from a sleepover past the age of like 5, and I would still get like shit when I'm 5 for it, is if I'm on the, it's the cops saying, come pick up your fucking kid. Like we busted this party. She can't stay here. So I don't think that like, I think there's a very much a happy medium. And I always really respected my friend's parents who, and I didn't even really notice it again, like until I was older, that they weren't really allowed to sleep over at almost anyone's house. Like there was like 2 or 3 people's houses that they were allowed to sleep over at, but they would be the house that would host a sleepover. And like they would make it so, they'd be like so much food in the morning, like so much, all of this, like to make it where it didn't even, it wasn't like a, I thought less of that friend or I got to spend less time with that friend. It was like, oh my God, no, you have the best house for sleepovers. This is so much fun. But I think there's also an age that once it gets older, I think the importance of sleepovers to like social like lives, I think happens middle school on. I don't think elementary school sleepovers are like crucial to forming like social connections. and bonds that way. Kids can also be very mean at sleepovers. And like,
people are different at sleepovers. I don't know what it is, but and I'm like, you don't act like this at school.
Totally. And I think that like, when you're younger, you might not have like the words to kind of like verbalize that or describe it to your parents. And I would say like, the first time you do have your kid go on a sleepover with someone who you're comfortable with, like, I think do what Melissa's mom did, like show up, really watch how your kid interacts with the other kids there and the other adults there, find out what other adults are there, and then tell your kid, hey, if you want to come home at any point, whether you feel uncomfortable, someone's being mean, your stomach hurts, you can't sleep, someone's snoring, like you can like have fun with it, like throw in some like suggestions like that, like their food that you don't like, whatever, send me a text and text this word and I'll call you and say something came up and I had to pick you up.
Yep.
So having it take the weight off of them where it feels like I don't want to make, which I would feel like I don't want to make this person I'm having a sleepover with, I don't want to make them feel bad because I want to go home. And so like, I'm just going to kind of stick it out and I like don't feel comfortable. But I think like the more you can like foster the having your place be a place for like kids to come, like have them have a sleepover and all that stuff. Specifically, I will say I had some of the most fun sleepovers I ever had at my friends who grew up with single moms. Like it was just like there was just like an ease to that because most of the time we would know the moms a lot better. Like we didn't always know the dads as well. Mm-hmm. So I think like forming connections with the other parents there and the same way that like I think you should make sure you know them before you, if and when you let your kids sleep over at their house, hopefully that they have the same feelings there. So like make sure you want them to know, like have them feel so super comfortable, all the other parents and that. But I do think if you don't feel comfortable having your kid at a sleepover at all, like you don't have a good vibes with like the parents, you don't have vibes with any of that kind of stuff, that's okay. And I don't know anybody who was not allowed to have sleepovers as a kid who has grown up and become an adult and didn't feel that their parents or their guardians at the time were justified in that. Like, I think they can be really important socially, but only only if they go well. And there's a chance that they don't go well. And if you can't ensure that you feel like the odds are really stacked in your favor, that you feel really comfortable about it, I don't think it's worth the risk.
Yeah. Yep.
So.
I don't think like there are some people, you know, like if they lived in like a certain neighborhood, like I had this one of my friends, we lived in the same neighborhood. And so we would hang out all the time. And then like this other girl in our class was like, didn't live in the neighborhood. And she didn't understand like why we were so much closer. It was like, it's not that we're like hanging out with you. It's just like, I can walk over here. Mm-hmm. Yours is a whole thing. Like,
yeah,
you know, you're invited in time, but it's just like we're just outside at the same time, or, you know, I can just go over and spend the night. But like, I don't think it really changes anything on like a big scale as far as like friendship at school.
Yeah,
that I can remember. And
I knew people who would have like sleepover birthday parties, and like some people just like, I don't know what it could have been. There was a different reason, but it was just that like, oh, they don't like sleeping at other people's houses. And so like, when we're all getting ready, like we brush teeth, same, laying in bed, I would wake up in the morning, they would be there, their parents had picked them up and they came back for breakfast. Mm-hmm. Like, and I didn't think differently of anyone at all there. And I know that I was in much more unsafe positions from like, whether it's like you're telling someone you're sleeping over at someone else's house and you're not, and you end up like, go to a party, it gets busted, you're sleeping in someone's car. Like whatever. I was gonna say,
older years, that was different.
But like, that's like I think like if you can build a system of like trust with your kid there, the fun parts of sleepovers, which is like the going out to parties or whatever. I remember my friends who like their parents were like, you can go to a party, that's totally fine, but like, you just want you to sleep here. And then we would all sleep there. And so like, you still have all that fun social stuff. Mm-hmm. So like, I think instead of banning it, making sure if you're not comfortable with it, you have the alternative that still achieves the social aspects of it.
Yeah.
I was gonna say, there's no way I had a sleepover where I stayed the night by 8. Like, I remember my first sleepover, Mark and Ben's house. They were like my neighbors. Mark was my little boyfriend when I was a child, which also like, that was like fine. Nothing bad happened. But imagine like your first sleepover that you're cool with is like me, two boys, one older and then one my age. Mm-hmm.
I mean, I had sleepovers like with my godbrothers when I was like younger.
Yeah.
And I had friend sleepovers. I guess that would have started like sixth grade. So.
Yeah, that's. I would have said that mine, if it wasn't like everyone is like a party and all the parents are at a party and then the kid, we fell asleep and we all just like slept there and like we were young. But yeah, I don't think I even like made it through a whole night of a sleepover until middle school, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. That's it.
Woo! We hope you all enjoyed this episode. If you did, you can always leave us a review on the podcast app or Spotify. We appreciate it. You can stay tuned and subscribe to the show so you get notified every time we have a new episode, because 4 episodes a week, baby. If you want to support the show, head on over to our Patreon. You can also watch the video version there or join our live streams that we do twice a month. And you can also play Monopoly Go with us there. Trade some stickers. And buy our merch. Send us good vibes and figuring out how taxes work.
I'm going to read a review from Spotify. Ooh. And it was from the episode Failed Valentine's Date, which was last week. And someone says, this episode was so motivating. Your advice on the last call made me feel so encouraged to not give up on my own dreams. Thanks, you two.
What was our...
It was the gal whose parents were like, you're a failure. Oh, yeah, grandparent, the grandfather's like a failure. And then, which we didn't even, afterwards, I like, we didn't even talk about the NFT part of it all. They told her to go into NFTs.
I know. I literally thought about that afterwards because something crypto-y NFT came up and I went, where did I just see this? And I went, hold up. Just moved right on by that one. Because that's a much more secure business decision.
Yeah.
Not. Well, yay, thank you so much. That was so kind. We hope you all enjoyed this episode. Thank you for leaving that review. And we'll see y'all next time.
Bye.